Welcome to the Interviews Podcast.
Il cross, prima intenzione, Bobo anticipato, palla vagante, mette giù, recova, il tiro,
Welcome, Interisti, to episode 86 of the Interviews Podcast. We are here for our end of season review for what's been an absolutely incredible season. And there's no way that you can really do a review like this without bringing out the heavy hitters. So as always, I am one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Johnny Paterno. And Johnny, who else but these two? Who else but these two to do this kind of episode?
Yeah, I was super excited to that we came up with this idea for these episodes. And obviously, we had to bring these two gentlemen on. Probably the two biggest voices, I would say, on Inter Twitter. Oh wow. Okay, so Sharma already disagreed with me. So that's we're off to a great start. And then I had to bring in, obviously, you know, our least favorite guest, but now our most consistent guest.
You might as well just make him a co-host.
Honestly, like, listen, I've been trying to get him to do it, but he says I have to pay him, and he wants all these crazy demands, like jars
my
of
rider, my rider, with, my rider. Yeah. You need to sell
no
my
chocolate
rider.
M&Ms in a bowl for me. I'm like, holy cow, like, Nima, these are ridiculous.
Only chocolate. You can't even say it right. This is why I don't come up that as often. You can't even get it right on when you say it.
But yeah, I appreciate you guys joining.
Yeah, thanks for hopping on, guys. Johnny, if Sharma is our Zio, what does that make Nima?
Our godfather? Is that
the nonno, the nonno.
Our fairy god.
Well, the nonno is going to say that. You prick.
The nonno. Oh, the nonno of interview sod. Anyway, guys, thanks for jumping on. Really appreciate it. We don't have a ton of time today, so we're going to jump right into it. Really what we're looking to do today is not necessarily like grade the season or, you know, talk through teams of the season. I think, both Nima and Sharma have gone through that extensively. What we wanted to do was, just give out some individual player awards for both Inter and for, the Serie A, go through some summer predictions where, you know, when I was putting this together, Lautaro was still, apparently 3 million away in the contract that is now thrown out the window. Looks like our Capitano is re-signing through 2029. So we can actually start there. We'll also do a little fun thing. We'll do a draft at the end of this episode, and we'll let you guys choose who came up with the best five aside. But first, big news dropping this morning. Lautaro Martinez has instructed his agent to go ahead and accept Inter's offer. And a very good start to the Oak Tree ownership, getting to lock him down. So, Zio, I'll start with you. Your reaction when you saw that come through this morning. A lot of people chiming in, but would love to hear your thoughts here. Was it ever in doubt for you?
Well, I'm always optimistic when it comes to these renewals. Maybe I believe Marotta too much, even though he's given us sometimes reasons not to, but when Beppe says it, I believe him. But this time, I think it would have been embarrassing because it wasn't just Beppe. It was Lautaro himself said it. Zanetti said it. It's like so many different people coming out saying that he was going to renew. So if he wasn't going to renew, it was going to look bad on everyone involved. So I was always quite optimistic. And, you know, the demands of 12, 13, 14, 15 million, you know, that's part of the game. That's what they want. That's what they think they might get. See how far they can, you know, push the boat out with Inter. So all I didn't like was, you know, his agent, Camagno, was just like, he seems like one of those slimy characters who just, you know, speaks too much. Lautaro needs to rein him in. But I was actually one of the few that was particularly optimistic on this one. So I'm very happy. I'm happy that Capitoro is staying.
Capitoro, that's wonderful. Nima, was Camagno the most hated man in Milan for a couple of weeks there?
Well, he was very loved over at Milan, but by Milan fans, but he wasn't very popular with Inter, and Inter fans were getting more and more annoyed. And I think I think we'll find out over the next couple of days what happened here. I think there's so many facets to this, so many aspects to this. I have no problem admitting that I thought it was a question of when he leaves, not if he leaves. I was never worried that there was going to be a conflict. I always thought that if he left, he would have left on good terms. Inter would have been handsomely paid, and that would have been it. But for him to turn around and instruct his agent to give him where are we right now after they met last night, and he was like, well, it's 9.5. It's excluding, you know, add-ons on top of that, some easily attainable, some not easily attainable. So basically 10 a year, 5 years. And then he goes and says, yeah, I want you to accept that. That's very, very unheard of in this day and age. And I think there's reasons for that. First of all, from Lautaro's perspective, he's not stupid. He knows he will never be anywhere else. He will not have, okay, he wants to win the Champions League. He can do that at Inter. Of course, Inter aren't going to be favorites. But the other four clubs that are in contention for the next 3 years, the Real Madrids, the PSGs, the Man Cities, the Bayern Munichs, he's not going to be the main man there except for PSG. But then PSG, he has to play in Ligue 1. And I think what happened was that he made exactly what I said. I think I was on this pod when I said, and I also said it on my own pod, that look, at the end of the day, it comes to a point where you have to, in life, make a decision on what is more important. He's captain at Inter. He's happy at Inter. His wife is happy at Inter. Signing a five-year contract with Inter at this point, his last really big contract, is basically him saying, well, I'm happy where I am. The project, the work is not done. I'm willing to commit long-term to do it, not just another year or two, because it's a five-year contract. That's great on his part. But in order for a player to feel like that, you have to create an environment for a player to feel like that. And that is Beppe Marotta, who has completely run the sporting side of it in the most brilliant way possible. Of course, he's made mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. But the environment he's created with a core of the team, Bastoni, Barella, Lautaro, Çalhanoğlu, Simone, and the sporting side, all of them with long-term contracts now, is truly remarkable. It's unique that you create an environment where a player feels so loved that he's actually saying, well, I know I can make 12 million somewhere else, but I'd rather make minimum nine, maybe 10 on average, maybe even 12, because if they win the Champions League, I'm sure those bonuses and add-ons are trophy bonuses, Champions League bonuses and stuff like that. That he's willing to say that and say, look, I'd rather do that and become actually historic at Inter and become a bandiera after the, you know, on par with Zanetti. I mean, he could actually, looking at the all-time goal scorers list, he can actually overtake Altobelli in second spot. That makes him immortal at Inter. So when all of these things, you know, put them together, this was exactly the kind of boost that Inter needed, given the instability of that always happens when you change ownership. And of course, for me, the biggest news was, well, not the biggest, but one of the things that I thought was really interesting and very important that was kind of underreported was that KPMG have been appointed to evaluate Inter by Oaktree. And so whatever evaluation they give, they will pay the, you know, minus the loan, minus the bond, whatever's left over, they will pay Suning. And Suning were happy with that. So it looks like they're not even going to go to court over this. So the smoothest of transitions has happened. In ownership, now we just need a new board and a president. The smoothest of continuations with Lautaro resigning, because Barella's a formality, Inzaghi's a formality, then you've got all of these guys locked down. So this is really an incredible, the most positive thing that could have happened for Inter just happened. He just, the captain of the club, the guy who Marotta gambled on to build around after the Handanovic and Icardi situations, that gamble turned out to pay off, and that is a huge win for any club CEO or boss of the sporting side.
Johnny, could this management team have played this any better than they did?
No, I don't think so, to be quite honest. I mean, I think they kind of made everything clear to what was to be expected of what was going to be available for Lautaro. I don't think that they, like, were harsh, obviously, in these negotiations, but I think they made it well known and kind of stood their ground that, hey, this is what we can do. This is the kind of financial climate we're in. Nowhere else are you going to be able to get this kind of money unless you leave Italy. And I think it at the end of it, you know, like Nima said, he kind of looked at what was going to be available to him, the opportunity to be a club legend. And he was like, you know what, it's better to stay here and make what really in the grand scheme of things, like a couple million less. Like, is that really going to make or break you at the end of the day? For us, it would, but not for someone who's already making, you know, millions. So it's,
but he's Johnny, just to build on that, there's also another aspect. And that is that if he does, I mean, look, from now on, when he signs that contract, from the second he signs that 5-year deal, every goal he scores, every trophy he lifts as captain will be seen by Inter fans in the light of a player wanting to stay at Inter despite being able to win the Premier League or win La Liga or win the Champions League with and get paid more. That in and of itself buys immortality. That buys club legend status. And that in also that coupled with him scoring a lot. And score, if he keeps his average, he's going to beat Altobelli in 3-4 years' time. And that's when he's 30, 31. And in that time, Inter probably win a couple of more Serie A's, Coppa Italia, Supercoppa, and maybe even a Champions League, a Club World Cup. Like stuff
not
like
maybe.
That.
Maybe we'll win the Club World Cup.
Yeah. But I mean, but regardless, that'll make you a legend. And what happens is after your career, when you're a legend at Inter or at Milan or wherever, you or a club of this stature, if you're a club legend at those places, he will have a job at Inter for as long as he lives, if that's what he wants, if he doesn't want to go into management. If he wants to work for Inter after he retires, there will always be a door open for him there. And
yeah, he'll never want for anything in Milan.
No,
never again.
No,
yeah.
No. And so that's something we have to take into consideration. And Javier Zanetti has shown that, you know, of course it was a different era in football. But now, I mean, Zanetti's got a lifetime contract as vice president at Inter, right? So I'm not saying that he's going to reach those levels, but that there is also that kind of job security. I mean, if he had gone to Real Madrid, say he goes to Real Madrid, he wins a couple of Champions League, one or two Champions Leagues in their new Galactico 3.0 era, he's never going to be a club legend there. I mean, to be a club legend at Real Madrid, you know, that's Cristiano Ronaldo, and he's barely a club legend. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's
yeah.
you're always going to be one among the crowd there. And Inter, in the situation Inter are in, to pledge yourself to the cause and say, you called and I answered. This is this fascia is mine. This armband is mine, and I'm going to defend it. I'm just being a captain for a year. I want to stay here. I'm happy here. That you know, and then continue this winning cycle, give continuity to the project with Bastoni and Barella as the pillars of that team, and Inzaghi, who he's very happy to work with, and they have a very good relationship. Look, that'll make him immortal at Inter if he continues to win stuff and continues to, if he were to even win a Champions League and stuff like that, that would make him immortal at Inter. And being immortal at Inter is there are worse fates in life than that.
Absolutely. So, okay. Everyone's very happy that Lautaro has re-signed. It's a great start to the mercato. But we do have to reflect on this season that brought us the second star. So let's go ahead and jump into a couple different categories that we're going to talk about. We'll talk about MVP, signing of the season, breakthrough player, youngster, surprise, and best goal. So why don't we start with in reverse order here? We'll end with our MVP. So let's go with best goal or favorite goal of the season from Inter. Sharma, why don't you go ahead and kick us off here?
My favorite still remains that Hakan goal against Napoli. I know, you know, we've probably scored better goals this season, but the technique that he did that with, because it keeps reminding me of that Thiago goal that Thiago scored for Liverpool against Porto, I think it was. He just hits it so clean, it doesn't even touch the floor. Like, it's just so aesthetically pleasing. And that performance as well, away at Napoli 3-0. It's just, good memories.
An absolute banger too. Like, just couldn't just strike the ball any better. Johnny, what about for you?
So I went. I did a lot of extensive research looking into these because there was a bunch that I enjoyed. But to me, kind of along the same lines of Sharma, even though it's a different goal, but the technique that went into it and the fact that it was hit on the volley, kind of with the outside of the foot. It's Federico Di Marco's goal versus Empoli that won us the game away. I mean, what went into that? And just, it felt like we were not going to score a goal at all that game. So even just the importance of being able to get 3 points with a goal of that caliber was awesome. So that's probably my favorite of the season.
That's a good one. All right, Nima.
I both think that both of these goals are the most beautiful ones, but it's also to annoy my good friend Patrick Kendrick. I have to choose Di Marco versus Frosinone because of course he meant it. And it pisses Patrick off to no end. And it just, I love it. He can't handle it. It drives him mad. Dimash, yeah, and he gets so worked up over it. It's really funny. He's like, he didn't mean it. You know he didn't mean it. Why can't you just admit it? And I'm like, of course he meant it. What do you mean he didn't mean it? It's really, it's the source of great, great pleasure to me on WhatsApp in private, when we met in Milan. He's like, what do you mean? You know he didn't mean it. I was like, of course he meant it. And it pisses him off and it winds him up and it really, really gives me much pleasure. But it also I have to give a special, like, Thuram first derby against Milan. That is one of the most beautiful goals ever. Like, that is just, like, but yeah, that's of good. Course. That's Dimash!
Unfortunately, Patrick's favorite left back might be leaving Serie A this season, so maybe we can this next season. So maybe we can convert him to a Dimash fan. But Nima, like you said, for me, it's Thuram against Milan. And basically, the way that I thought about it, I was trying to think of what was the goal that made me explode out of my seat the hardest, and it was Thuram against Milan, where it was me such too. Like a that first derby when both Milan and Inter were. It was like, these are going to be the teams that are fighting for the title all season long. And it was that first meeting of these two teams that were on a run. And then Thuram, like, you know, we hadn't seen that from him. We hadn't seen that he had that in his locker. And for him to just take on, you know, Ciao, who the Milan fans have talked up as this, like, you know, a next up-and-coming defender, for him to just take him on and blow one past the Magnan. It was spectacular to see the crowd losing their minds, him running over, you know, throwing up the hands behind his ears. Like, it was just such a moment, and it has staying power despite the fact that it happened, you know, at the start of the season. It sticks with you. So for me, I mean, these are all bangers, like absolute quality from the team. All up and down the season. So yeah, none of us have the same one, which I think is a good one, but a lot of quality here. Mm. All right, let's go over to the surprise of the season. I'll go ahead and kick this one off. For me, it's got to be Bissek. Like, his performance this year, the kid coming from the Danish league, like, I think everyone had this perception like it's going to take him time to adjust to Italian football, and obviously that still is the case, but for him to look so comfortable and for him to look so effective going forward in defense, scoring goals, like, he just really, really surprised me. I did not see that coming from him this season. So for me, I'm going to give the surprise of the season to Beckenbauer. All right, Nima, let's kick it over to you. Who was your surprise?
Well, I don't want to pick the same person or same thing over and over again, so I'm not going to use Bissek for surprise of the season. My surprise of the season is how Inter handled the winter. There was no annual January depression. That was a surprise. The annual Inter winter depression never came, and that was a very positive surprise.
I like that. You're out of the box thinking.
It's changing of the guard, a little bit of a different feel to Inter this year. Okay.
I mean, if we're perfectly honest, that's when Inter were at their best during the winter. That stretch of games, when they completely spanked Lazio in the Supercoppa, that was the starting point of a 10-12 run game where they were just unplayable.
So, Johnny, what about you?
Yeah, for me, you know, this was, I went with a player who I wasn't too high on when we signed him. I didn't think it was going to be that big of an impact. But not even Frate. It's wrong with that. Wow. It's actually Carlos Augusto. I was like, I did not really think, like, not that I was against the signing or anything like that, but I didn't think it was going to be like much of an impact, not that big of an improvement.
It's because you're a Gosens fanboy.
I am a Gosens fanboy. But he exceeded literally every expectation, and I felt so secure defensively with him, whether it was at left center back or left wing back. I felt like once he came on, like, they're not going to score, at least from that side. Like, they're not going to be able to do anything. And I was very happy with him.
Yeah, another diamond in the rough from Auxilio and Marotta. All right, Sharma, what's it going to be?
Yeah, I'm going to go with you, Alex, the B-set, because not even because of him, just the amount of minutes that he got, because I thought he was, I think I tweeted at the beginning of the season that I didn't think he was going to get even as many minutes as Belanova got last season, which was about 670 or something, if I remember correctly. But I think he's ended up getting way over 1,000 minutes, which is, a lot more than I thought. Obviously, Pavard's injury helped with that, but still, he took his chance with both hands, and he was also very, very, very good. I'm really looking forward to seeing how Inzaghi continues to develop him.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a big question for next year. I think both Bisek and Carlos are going to want a little bit more playing time. So how does that unfold when you have DiMarco and Pavard in front of you in the pecking order? So let's see how involved they're going to be next year. All right, youngster of the season. I feel like this is going to be unanimous. Not much to choose from, given that.
I think we could just skip. Right? Yeah. We're all going to say Bisek, I would assume, right?
Like, is Bisek's everyone? Yeah, so Bisek goes so ahead.
We shouldn't even count as youngster. He's 23, but it's only in Italy. He's 23.
Well, that is a youngster on the, on the Allegri scale. That's
this is Italy. Of course, they're young until they're senators. It's this magical moment that there's no in between in Italian football. You're a young lad until you're a senator. It's just how it is.
Yeah, he may even get it next year. Exactly. I don't expect us to.
As long as he's at the club.
Yeah, he's going to be the youngster.
Especially with Inzaghi at the helm.
Yeah. Okay. Breakthrough player of the season, a player who you didn't expect to have as good of a year as they ended up having. Sharma, let's start with you.
I guess it has to be Fratesi in terms of. Actually, probably I expected a little bit more from him in terms of actual development or improvement in terms of his play and, you know, all those things we've discussed all season. I don't think we need to go over it, like the way he handles the ball and his decision making when he's on the ball and making himself available. But was it 8 goals, 6 assists when not even being a starter? I think he averaged 105 GA. A goal or an assist every 105 minutes. That's just crazy impact. So that has to be my breakthrough player.
Best season from a goal and assist perspective of his career. So huge from him. All right, Johnny, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much going to echo everything that Sharma said on that. I obviously was not the highest on him, but in terms of production, he definitely did everything that you would hope for and did have the impact off the bench. I kind of hope he can start to have that impact as a starter going forward, but it's it was good to see for sure.
Nima.
Of course, it's Fratesi, but one thing I want to say about him, I think that I've noticed with him, and also when you see when Inter, you know, when they give these like ridiculous challenges to players, like problems to solve for social media content, I think Fratesi is one of those people who has just naturally high IQ, like in the sense that I'm not saying that he's smart or like book smart or anything. No, I'm just saying he's got natural high IQ. And I think that's what we're seeing being reflected in the numbers. He hasn't played a lot. He's not very technical. We know that, but he does have a very good read of the game and his timing of the runs and the fact that he makes assists in the right moment without having played a lot, I think is just accentuates that. And I think he's an intelligent player in that sense. And I think he uses all the gifts he's got to the maximum. And the impact that he's had is just crazy. He's not a starter and he's scored so many important goals, so many important assists. I love him. And also, I love the character. I love these fiery characters who put their head down and work hard and understands where he is. And I really like him.
Yeah, he wants it bad. He's got a lot. He's built like an absolute tank. Like physically one of the most impressive players.
Does he have an ounce of fat on his body? Like, no. It's just crazy.
A 12-pack, no fat on his body. Just, you know, just an absolutely incredible athlete. And also, you know, there's room for him to improve, which I think is still a good thing. You know, as good as he was for us off the bench, there's a lot of room for him to get better. I'm gonna switch it up, and I'm gonna go with Thuram, and I'll say he's a breakthrough player because from what we've seen from him in his career, getting to, you know, 20 goals plus assists in his first year in Serie A, I don't think a lot of people expected that. And then the other element of the breakthrough for Thuram is the fact that as far as big games are concerned, who else showed up more than he did? Scored, you know, against all the big teams, and was huge for us. Obviously, against Atletico in the second leg, not his best performance, but outside of that, really, really broke through for me. I was not expecting him to be as prolific as he ended up. And speaking of Thuram, I wonder how this is going to go, because there were two major signings for me that I think are in consideration here. It's really between Thuram and Sommer, but let's see if maybe Fratesi can sneak in here. Signing of the season, I will go ahead and start. I'll say Sommer was the signing of the season. The lack of drop off from Onana in terms of, I think, shot stopping, we had expected him to be up there, but the lack of drop off in terms of distribution, he was really good with that this year. But also, I think the thing that most impressed me is we know he's a veteran, you know, 35 years old coming into the side, but the way that he was able to command the back line, high balls, just keep everything calm. Again, first year in Serie A, maybe not knowing the language as well coming into the season, was really, really impressed with his command of the back line. So for me, the signing of the season is Jan Sommer. Nima, what about you?
For everything you said about Thuram, I'm going with Thuram because I've got certain certain boxes I want ticked when I take into consideration when I'm saying signing of the season. I look at impact, I look at price, I look at expectation, I look at development, improvement. I think Marcus Thuram was the signing of the season in the Serie A. I don't think anyone comes close to him. He came on a free transfer. He had a good reputation, but nobody expected him to be this important, this decisive. He's quick. He's technical as hell. He's a dribbler. The only thing his link up play, his playing with back against the goal. He provides the reasoning to can play with so many different roles, so many different ways, is because of Marcus Thuram. And the only thing he needs to improve on is his finishing. Like when I interviewed Marcel Desailly, that's pretty much what he told me too a couple of months ago when I did it for Sempre Inter. He said, look, he needs to improve his goal scoring output. And there's no doubt about that. But other than that, he has everything. He really has everything. And so for me, it can't be anyone else but Marcus Thuram.
Johnny, what about you?
Yeah, you already you've got it. It's
That's
Jan Sommer. I was so high on him. I'm going to go out and say that he has broken my goalkeeping curse. I finally got someone to me not put the kiss of death on. So, yeah, Jan Sommer, thank
poor,
you.
Poor Luis Maximiano.
I mean,
Of death.
I don't even know if he's even a professional goalkeeper anymore at this rate.
Ends of his career.
Yeah, so... He could take out an insurance claim on me, but yeah, no.
I never thought of that. That's a good shout, Jenny. I didn't even think that. So Jan Sommer is so good. He killed your goalkeeping curse.
He did. So yeah, I was high on him even before we got him. I knew the type of goalkeeper he was. I've been a fan of his since he was at FC Basel, and he just, like we said, in terms of shot stopping, we knew the type of goalkeeper we were getting. And for me, like, one of the saves that sticks out at the best is the save he made on Lukaku against Roma. The way to be able to time that dive and stop him from going around him to score in an empty net, and not commit a foul that would have obviously been a penalty. That was huge in itself, but that, it's not just that. He's had so many big ones. Yes, you know what? He's had a few howlers that I'm sure we would wish, you know, he would have saved, but Onana had the same. We all know Handanovic had same, and even Julio Cesar has had a couple. So it's expected with goalkeepers. You know, no one's going to be perfect, but the way he came in and there wasn't a drop off, being able to set that clean sheet record and stuff, that's awesome. And to do it in your first year in a new league, huge to me.
The real test of whether the curse is broken is going to be Bento. That's the real test, because you're high on him too.
Let's
see how that shakes out. All right, Sharma, your signing of the season.
Yeah, for me, it's Thuram. You know, you guys have said everything. He was what we were missing for so long. You know, that pace, the dribbling. He was everything. Don't laugh, Nima. He was what Correa was supposed to be to this Inter team. So
Thuram broke your career curse then. That's good.
No career curse. I was mislabeled as the career sexual.
Witch hunt.
All right, this is going to be an interesting one too, because I think there are a lot of names that can come in here. Sharma, we'll stay with you. Your most valuable player of the season for Inter this year.
Well, I thought it was pretty clear for me. I thought it was Hakan. Pretty simple for me, because he's been the most consistent. He's been most valuable in terms of, in that same way that Brozovic was, like the team without Hakan, and with Hakan is a completely different team. So he's taken his role as a regista this year to the next level. I just can't believe that I haven't missed Brozovic at all as well. But defensively, tackling, like, he's just complete player. And then penalties, it's just so good to see someone stepping up to a penalty. I mean, we love Lautaro, but I'm glad that he's just been taken off penalty duties.
Zero worries when he steps up.
Yeah.
And scoring those penalties in a number of different ways. Like, it wasn't just that he was hitting it at the same side. It was, you know, low, it was high. It was, you know, he was very, very impressive from the spot. All right, Johnny, over to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's Hakan. That's how I look at it. I don't think I really have to say much more than that. I agree with Sharma.
Nima.
I can't go past Lautaro Martinez. This was the season where, as long as there were competitive games, that Lautaro was, you know, this was the season where he got the captain's armband. This was his Inter. He was supposed to be the leader. He was supposed to be the focal point. He was supposed to be the everything. This is his Inter. It was his turn to show that he could lead Inter to glory. And as long as there were competitive games going on, I mean, up until winning the Scudetto, he was that player. I mean, yes, we, you know, joke about Salernitana, man, but to come on as a substitute and score four goals in that situation where Inter were actually struggling in that game, you know, and to not to mention his important goals against Milan, you know, in the Champions League a year ago, but still, like, the important goals, like that goal against Juve, for example, away, that's incredibly important. If he doesn't score that, I think that there's a lot of things that change in that season. So now for me, it is Lautaro. It has to be Lautaro. He was asked the question, can you deliver? As Inter's bandiera, as Inter's captain, as Inter's new focal point, and he more than delivered. So without a doubt, I have Lautaro.
Yeah, tough to argue with the Capocannoniere there, but I am going to go Hakan as well. The reason why I go Hakan over Lautaro specifically is because there were games where you did feel like Lautaro went missing for a little bit. As prolific as he was, you know, to start the season and for most of the year, there was a stretch where he did go missing, but I can't say the same about Hakan. Just the epitome of consistency and just always being on top of his game for us throughout the year. I actually don't know what's worse, the drop off from Hakan to Aslani or the drop off from Lautaro to a combination of Arnautovic or Alexis, but
respect Marco, please.
No,
respect.
Please don't. Please
respect
do not.
Marco in this.
Respect Aslani.
Marco pot.
No, what I do know is that Hakan showed up game in and game out. And it did feel this season like there was a little something extra to his grinta. He wanted this one bad. And finally gets one over Milan. So all right. Awesome. I think we touched on everything there as far as awards are concerned. Now let's switch over to some summer predictions. So I want one prediction as far as who will come in this year, one prediction guaranteed to leave, and then something random that you expect for the summer. Sharma, we'll start with you. Who do you expect to come in this season, this mercato, sorry?
I think they're going to re-sign Sanchez as the fifth striker.
Oh, my
God. No, don't say that.
You can't be serious.
I think so. I think they are.
The lion.
I almost wanna put that as your random prediction instead of your.
That is a random prediction, but it also it's I campioni sono così, amigo. Yeah.
Well, to be honest, it's quite hard now, like in terms of doing this prediction, because yeah, they've re-signed Lautaro, so up front Taremi is already coming in. If Arnautovic stays, and yeah, like it's really difficult to say. There's not much really to touch. I'm going to say they're going to bring in, maybe this is more out of hope, but, you know, a center back to kind of look to replace Acerbi the long term. So,
do you have a name that you think?
I don't think it would be Buongiorno. I know everyone's mentioning Buongiorno, but I think his price is out of reach, and I wouldn't pay 40 million for him as well. So I think it's going to be one of these other like left field guys, like a Bijol or a Bez Gouls or a Soule, one of these type of guys, like a 10 which to 15 I'm, million CCB. Yeah.
Which I'm cool with, because I think we need, you know, if Acerbi and De Vrij are going to get the majority of minutes, it would be nice to see someone like Soule get some game time, get some, you know, veteran in front of them to learn from. All right, Johnny, who do you think is coming in this year, this summer?
Listen, I'm going to trust, you know, two reliable sources in Maicon and Julio Cesar and say that I think Bento is going to be the guy coming in. Mm. Do I think he's the most important need this summer? No. But I do think that, I mean, they're pretty much saying negotiations are going great and that they expect it to be announced in the coming weeks. So, I mean, I would like to think that two, you know, Inter legends are in the know and kind of know some things, and we know the will of Bento is to come to Inter, and so I hope I hope they're right, and that's it. Yeah.
Nima, for you.
I'm not good. This isn't who I think will come in. This is who I hope will come in, and the reason for that is because after Francesco Acerbi suffered a groin injury and is now being operated on, and that we need a starting central defender who has experience. Stefan De Vrij is on the decline. Acerbi is also on the decline. We need a center back, and if I want it to be someone who is a veteran. And I look at and I see only one person who ticks all those boxes. I want Varane. If he can be fit, and if they can get him to be fit, because I'm telling you now, Varane and Pavard next to Bastoni is a very good central defense back three, if he's fit, Varane, of course. But that's a big if.
I wonder what kind of wages he's gonna command if that was the case. But okay, so one goalkeeper, two center backs. I'm gonna go with Bento as well. I just think it's furthest down the line, the will of the player. Again, if you're having legends like Johnny mentioned, Maicon and Julio Cesar, talk about it. And also, it is a need, right? Like locking down your goalkeeping position for the next 10 years is something that's extremely desirable. You don't want to have to switch out every two years.
Let's avoid the mistake we made with Handanovic waiting too long. Not that I think summer's going to be a huge drop off, if any at all, but like I would like to have that ironed out and not have to worry.
Which is why we bring in Varane, because you spend the money on Bento. Like I think that just makes sense.
Hey, if that all works, I'm fine with that then.
Knock
on wood. All right, for me, who's going to leave? I don't think Dumfries is going to be on the team next year, and mostly because I think it's a super realistic scenario for him to impress with the Netherlands in the Euros this summer and for an EPL team to just throw cash at Inter. So
glory, Man United, baby. Come on.
I don't expect Dumfries to be with us next year. What about you, Nima?
Same. I'm saying what I hope, and I have had enough. I need him out. Enough.
Brick freeze.
Yes, but not just that, because he puts his existence on the pitch means more than anything else. It means that Barella plays with shackles on his feet, and I'm tired of it. I want Barella to be unleashed, and I want Barella to be free Barella, and that means get rid of Denzel Dumfries.
Print the shirt, baby. Free Barella.
Free Nico. Free Nico.
Free Nico, yeah.
I've already made my prediction on what you're going to say, Johnny, but why don't you just go ahead and let the people know.
Get him out of here. Send him packing. I'll help carry all those bags that he came over with. I want him gone as well. You know what? He doesn't allow Nico to express himself, right, Nima? Like, he kind of he restricts him, in the words of Huyan, right? So, yeah, no. Listen, thank you for your timely goals, your equalizer that Nazario had to suffer through and be there in person for. But yeah, your time is up, buddy.
Where are you going, Sharma? Any different?
Yeah, actually, now I want to change my answer for who will come in, because I want to put right wing back. So I'll put like Sugawara in there for me.
Ooh, I like it.
I would love that.
I was very happy with Sugawara. Yeah. We need more fans in Japan, baby.
Yeah, put Brick Freeze for me, please.
Brick Freeze, gotcha. I gotcha.
Not Dumfries, yes. Put Brick Freeze.
All right, I think everyone would be pretty happy with that. All right, a random prediction for the summer. Reason why we have to do this is because Pazza Inter is always Pazza Inter. So
we're saying for the summer, this can't be, we're not going for next season?
Or you can go for next season.
Because then I got to change my answer if that's what we're...
We can go for next season too. However you guys want to play this one. All right, Sharma, what's your random prediction? Is it Alexis resigning?
Yeah, yeah. The Alexis resigning, yeah. I can just see it. August 30th.
Especially given that they've said that they're going to sign the fifth one late in the mercato, a fine mercato. That's the decision they're going to take. So,
but will the Lamborghini want to sit in the driveway for that long? That's what I'm wondering option.
I think so. I think if he feels that. It's not impossible. It's not impossible. It'd be the most Inter thing ever.
All right. Random prediction, Johnny.
Yeah, no, I was thinking in terms of next season, but my random prediction is that now, freed from the shackles of Denzel Dumfries, Nicolò Barella will win MVP of the Serie A next season. That's my prediction.
Nice.
That'd be wonderful.
And his hair will regrow.
I think given that Taremi's coming in, I think next season there's going to be some sort of a barbecue battle between the Argentinian asado, the Turkish kebab, and the Iranian kebab. There's going to be some sort of like, my people cook the meat the best kind of thing.
So I'm ready for that one.
Yeah, that's something.
That's a new
like
meme
that.
For Jerry Mancini if we get that. So,
oh, what is he gonna do now that if Correa leaves? Oh my God, pray for Jerry.
He'll find Taremi once.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
My random prediction is that I think Arnautovic is going to be the subject of a transfer saga, because I do think that Inter will want to bring in another forward, and I think that Arnautovic might be a blocker to that. All the interviews that he's given so far this summer is like, I have no intention of leaving. No one has told me. I have a year left. I think personally, on a personal level for him, he is desperate for success at Inter. Doesn't feel like he got it this year, obviously. So I think we might try to offload him, and I think he's going to put up a fight to try to stay. So that's my prediction. I think we'll have an Arnautovic transfer saga.
I think you're 100% right. The jaws of life will not be able to separate Arnautovic from that Inter contract. Like, he ain't going anywhere. Just accept it.
Where are you thinking, like, Saudi, Alex?
Or I mean, Europe? If it's like my hope for the team, I would hope that we can have a better option. Like, I don't mind Arnautovic as a fifth, but as a fourth, like, I hope that we can bring in someone like Goodmanson, albeit, you know, he's having his own issues
I don't think that's even coming up anymore. I think we need to put that one to bed.
Yeah. Not going to touch that. So, I mean, I would want some a better quality as a fifth striker. I would love him. So if Saudi comes in and gives the money, then him and Correa can play for Al Kabab next season and crush it, whatever they want to do.
They're not, the you know, he ain't going. Like, it's just, he's not doing it. He's not doing it.
It should be a very interesting summer. I'm just keeping an eye on the clock here. Sharma and Nima, how long do you have with us here?
Got like 5-10 minutes more.
Dang, okay.
Okay, so let's go right into
the draft. Let's do the draft. Yeah,
let's do the draft. Let's do the draft. I think that's going to be the most fun here. So here's the rules. We're going to go ahead and randomly select the draft order. It's going to be a snake draft. So whoever has the fourth pick will go immediately again, and then it'll go through this way. The categories, you have to have a goalkeeper, a defender, a midfielder, and a striker, and you're allowed one wild card pick as well. You have your selection from whoever you want all throughout Serie A. All right, let's go ahead and get this random draft order set up. What am I doing here? Stop. Share the presentation.
Ooh.
Random draft order. Okay, I'm going to hit randomize. Oh, there you go. Look at that. I have first pick.
Rigged.
Wow. Sharma with the second. Johnny third. Nima is going to get to double up. And then it'll go Johnny, Sharma, Ale. So I will have the eighth pick, and it'll go like that. All right, let's get into it. So I'm going to pull this up again. My first pick of the Serie A draft here, I'm going to go with a midfielder, and I'm going to go with Nicolò Barella.
I hate this draft already. This draft is the worst.
My five-a-side.
I'm out.
It's ruined everything.
I'm boycotting the draft.
Sharma, you're next.
I go for a striker and the one, how the Prem Todd would say, a Dybala.
Dybala.
Wow.
All right. Going with the taking the five aside here into account, because Dybala would absolutely ruin it in a five aside. I love it. Johnny, your pick.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go with a midfielder as well. I'm going to take my MVP, Hakan Çalhanoğlu.
Great pick. Great pick. All right, Nima, you're up. You get to pick two.
Okay, so I can pick two for like two. Okay, so I get. Okay, now I get it. Okay. Yeah. I'm taking a midfielder and striker. My midfielder, I'm taking you took both of my midfielders. nah, listen. You know what? I'm going to go with Benasser if he's fit.
Wow. That's
he's fine.
Yeah, but when he's fit. Like but Benasser can hold the ball when he's, and my striker is Osimhen.
In five aside, he would be so bad.
No, he would be. Wow, he's so nimble too.
Wow,
he's not, I like him. He never stops moving. His movement is great.
I'm shocked that he's gonna be allowed to fall to me. And in a five-a-side, I think that this guy would be absolutely deadly. I'm gonna go with Marcus Thuram as my striker.
Yeah, he would be good in a five-a-side.
All right, Sharma.
Midfield. I don't know if you guys can count him as a midfielder, but Kvara.
Yeah,
definitely.
I'll count it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Pulisic is a midfielder according to the official Serie A account. So,
I think we can have
that. All right, for me, I'm gonna go Bastoni. I might have an all Inter squad here.
Nice.
I'm gonna go Bastoni.
Yeah, I was thinking him, but.
So Johnny, the snake draft means that I would go again here.
Yeah, you go again now.
Okay, and then who would go after me?
And then Sharma goes after you, and it just keeps going.
And then it keeps
the
going.
Same order.
Yeah. Okay. So for my wild card, I'll go Goodmanson.
I think he's...
Cancelled. Cancelled.
No. This is no, we're just talking. We're just talking on the pitch. All right, Sharma, you're up.
I want defender Pavard.
Oh, that's goddamn
great
that
pick.
My guy.
That's a fucking great pick.
That was my guy.
Do I get two or is it just the one?
No, it's just the one.
Now it goes to Dom.
Now I'm going to go with my defender, and I'm going to take him. I'm going to go with Calafiori.
God damn it.
That's a fucking great pick. All right, Nima, you're up.
I'm liking my team.
You're doubling it up, Nima.
Yeah, Nima, you go two in a row now.
Okay, so I want... I'll take... Because, yeah, he's a mean son of a bitch. Yeah, I'm going with Gianluca Mancini. I want a bone crusher out there.
Wow. Nima's going for violence.
I chose violence. And my goalkeeper is Jan Sommer because I like...
Okay.
That's a good pick. All right, Johnny, over to you.
Yeah, I'm going with my wild card. I want two guys in the midfield, so I'm going to steal Coop Miners while he's still available.
Fucking great pick. Great pick.
When do I get to do two picks?
So we're because you and I are sandwiched in the middle, we don't get two in a row.
Never do two picks, yeah. It's so the American draft style.
Yeah.
I blame Oak Tree for this. Well, I'm so shocked that no one's picked him. Lautaro. Give me Lautaro, man. Five aside.
The Argentinian flavor up top for you.
Yeah. What should have been
your last two picks, Alessandro?
My last two, I'm going to go striker, the Italian Ibra with a neck tattoo, Scamacca, and then...
What a team. That might be the best team right there.
For goalkeeper, I will take someone who has ties to Inter. I'll take Di Gregorio.
Nice. I was hoping he would fall to me.
All right, it's going back to Sharma. Complete it. Right.
Who's your goalkeeper, Sharma?
Give me Magnon.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, really?
Stacked squad.
Ah, man. Who am I going to take? Literally, my two favorite guys are gone.
Radu?
I'll never live that down. Okay.
The best thing about that is... how you doubled down on it. Like, I will die on this hill. And I remember when that happens, Tony, like, we don't even get angry at that. Our first reaction is we send your tweet instantaneous to one another with lol.
Yeah.
And then we got angry.
Yeah. Yep. I'm not a dried meat fan, so he's out. You know what? This might cost me, but I'm actually gonna go with. I'm a big fan of this guy, Joseph Martinez from Genoa.
He's good.
Yeah,
he is. Now, my wild card is Theo Hernandez because on a five-a-side pitch with his dribbling and his speed, he's going to be lethal.
Your team sucks ass, Nima.
No, it doesn't.
Real.
No, it doesn't.
Oh my
five
God.
Aside, Theo and Osimhen, they're gonna run into the side because they just haven't got enough space to run into.
No. You'll see.
Oh my God. Thank God you have Sommer in there, Nima, because then the accusations about Nima Napolista,
Nima didn't even like really anybody from me.
You took Bastoni from me, you took Calafiori from me. I mean, you took Hakan from me. What do you want me to do? I was last to pick.
All right. So we'll run through the teams here. What we're going to do is we're going to post this graphic and we're going to have the fans decide who has the best teams.
Who has the best team?
Sharma, stack squad, Mike Maignan as their goalkeeper. Squad, another Frenchman, Benji Pavard, is the defender. He has Cavada as his midfielder, Dybala as the striker, and the Serie A MVP as his wild card, Lautaro Martinez. Gianni with Joseph Martinez, breakout for Genoa. Calafiori, breakout for Bologna. our Inter MVP, Hakan Çalhanoğlu, up top, Marcus Thuram, another breakout, and then Koop Miners, who criminally underrated around Europe, one of the absolute best midfielders in Serie A. Nima, this shit show of a team. Jan Sommer is the saving grace. Gianluca Mancini, breaking ankles, maybe starting for Italy in the Euros this summer with Acerbi's injury. Benacer coming back from injury this season, but we do know he's a super talented player. Osimhen, it's maybe the last time he'd ever be eligible for a draft like this, depending on what the transfer market looks like for Napoli. And same thing can be said for Theo Hernandez. So maybe this was just Nima giving a send-off to some of the most exciting players of Serie A over the past several seasons. And then for my team, I went Inter heavy, Di Gregorio, Inter youth product, Bastoni and Barella, the core of Inter, Italian Ibra with a neck tattoo. God, I need him to have a huge Euro. Absolutely love this player. And Goodmanson, who we won't talk about any further. All right. Thank you guys for jumping on.
Appreciate
Sharma,
it.
Why don't you go ahead and plug what you got going on these days?
Yeah, aside from the best five-a-side team, you can find me on YouTube, Uncle Sharma. But yeah, no, always great to jump on with you guys. You do an amazing job.
Appreciate that, man. Nima?
We go into Mercato and Euro 2024 mode at the Italian Football Podcast. We're doing a big preview of the tournament on Tuesday, Wednesday next week. It's going to be on video and audio, so it's out on YouTube as well. Adriano Del Monte is going to be a special guest to go through that with us.
He's awesome.
Yeah,
he's a good friend. And so we're doing, and then also we're doing the club-specific Mercato deep dives that we always do. And also we'll try to get some guests on ahead of when Italy plays teams. We'll try to have some special guests on to preview those games. So yeah, patreon.com/TIFB if you want to be a patron. And if you want to just follow us and listen to the free episodes, it's on YouTube, it's on iTunes, it's on Spotify, the Italian Football Podcast.
Two of the absolute best in the game. Thank you guys so much for coming on, especially for, you know, English speaking Interisti. These guys are must follow. So for us, for Interviews Pod, we will be covering Italy during the Euros this summer and of course the Mercato. So you won't have to wait till next season to get episodes of Interviews Pod. Thank you guys for jumping on. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.